B-Pod Studios.
I feel like the biggest story coming out of Wednesday night was Finn Balor winning a three-way match over Tommaso Ciampa and Keith Lee to become the number one contender for the NXT Championship, and he will fight Adam Cole on December 18th. I felt like this was an excellent matchup. Lee hit Tommaso Ciampa with a sit-out powerbomb, and as Lee and Ciampa landed on the mat, Balor leapt off the top rope with his coup de grace finish on Lee. Balor then covered Lee and pinned him clean in the middle. I was a little surprised that Balor beat him clean in the middle, that there wasn't some sort of schmoz or hocus pocus, but this is NXT and they do things differently. Lee getting beat by Balor doesn't hurt Keith Lee at all. They'll do something else and try and build him back up, I'm sure. I expected Lee to win this match and then lose to Cole next week and then be moved to Raw or SmackDown. My guess, and it's only a guess, is that they're doing Cole versus Balor on TV because Balor is going back to Raw or SmackDown soon. Again, that's just a guess and me kind of overthinking things. I just feel like Balor versus Cole is an NXT TakeOver main event rather than a end-of-the-year TV show main event. But that's just me and my thought process of always trying to build for a pay-per-view event, or in this case, an important TakeOver special. Balor on the 18th could just beat Adam Cole and become the new NXT champion. I would rather see Adam Cole retain here against Finn Balor and be the champion until at least WrestleMania weekend in Tampa. The story, to me, says that Tommaso Ciampa is going to be the challenger WrestleMania weekend in Tampa. Ciampa would then win the title from Adam Cole, and then they would be programmed together for the entire summer. That, to me, is the completion of the story that Tommaso Ciampa never lost the title. It's been a year since he's been the champion, and Adam Cole has his title, his Goldie. One of the things that I do love about NXT, if Balor does win this match on the 18th, a rematch with Adam Cole would be fun, and then line up the rest of the NXT roster for the next year or so to be programmed with the NXT champion Balor. Ciampa, Lee, if Johnny Gargano comes back healthy, those are all TakeOver main events in the future. I love having multiple challengers for one championship. That is what makes wrestling fun for me. Just putting together matchups for the title and dream matchups that we all know are going to be excellent. On the AEW side, I felt like the big story was MJF. His promo was awesome. And MJF, who at 22 years old is so different in today's wrestling landscape, he's a promo first, in-ring competitor second. He is really what I think WWE in the 80s was. MJF doesn't care about the five-star match, but he is going to mess with your emotions. And they have told a really good story with him and Cody. His promo on Cody was excellent. He mocked his lisp. He called him out for pandering to the fans. He made a production staff member kiss his ring. MJF did agree to face Cody, and MJF said he would announce those stipulations on January 1st in Jacksonville. Excellent, excellent tease here. This continues to be good storytelling. And Cody, who's been the focal point of the best storytelling since AEW's inception. The Rhea Ripley promo, building to her fight with Shayna Baszler on Wednesday the 18th. Again, something that I thought was excellent. It really summed up her story and her life and professional journey to get to this match with Shayna Baszler for the NXT Women's Championship. I continue to struggle with what they do with Shayna Baszler. I still feel like they're going to do a title switch here to Rhea Ripley and move Baszler to Raw or SmackDown. But then I wonder, would they have Baszler retain and then have Baszler win the Royal Rumble as the NXT Women's Champion, and then worry about getting the championship off her later? Her run as NXT Champion has produced some good matches. Really, she only had that one blip of losing to Kairi Sane at NXT Brooklyn in 2018. If that loss to Sane doesn't happen, Baszler would be on a 530-plus day run as NXT Women's Champion. I think she's excellent. I think a match with her or Charlotte or Baszler versus Becky at WrestleMania, that would be good stuff. Continuing with the theme of promos, the Chris Jericho Inner Circle John Moxley interaction. Excellent stuff. Moxley getting a quick win to open AEW was very well done. And then to have Jericho come in with his Inner Circle group and bringing Moxley's real life situation into the promo, that's good stuff. That's relatable stuff, I feel. and then Jericho ending by putting an Inner Circle t-shirt on Moxley's shoulder, the camera zooming in on Moxley's facial expressions and body language, without Moxley saying anything, we know that he isn't going to join the Inner Circle. And that's a really cool thing, is that Jon Moxley told his story and his answer without saying a word. Credit to Jericho for the setup and Moxley with the execution. The NXT Cruiserweight Championship changed hands. Don't really care about that. They should do away with the Cruiserweight Championship, as I've said. AEW announced that they're back on pay-per-view February 29th in Chicago. They're calling it AEW Revolution. I thought Boston was going to get this pay-per-view. And obviously it's not. They're going back to Chicago. They love Chicago, and I don't blame them. Chicago seems to have turned into the wrestling hotbed that New York might have been. I think it's interesting to note that it's February 29th, and maybe they didn't do Boston because February 28th is SmackDown at the TD Garden. And I don't think that AEW wants to be known as a company that piggybacks off WWE. I thought both shows had really good elements to them. They move stories forward to either December 18th or, in the case of AEW, into 2020. I find it much more fun investing in Wednesday Night Wrestling than I had really expected to. As for TLC on Sunday, Mike, Joe, and I will be back doing a show recap on Sunday night. And one thing that I want to point out, it feels to me like Becky and Charlotte are going to win the Women's Tag Team Championship and be the disgruntled, we're stuck together because we're the champions tag team. My favorite version of this was another Paul Heyman write-up. 1997 ECW, Lance Storm and Chris Candido. They did really excellent work here. But the bigger picture in me mentioning Becky and Charlotte being the women's tag team champion is it adds to their resumes, which we all know WWE is into building resumes, but it also allows them to be on Raw and on SmackDown and NXT if they want to work there. Before the draft, there was a note that the women's tag team champions can float between brands. If Charlotte and Becky become the women's tag team champions, they can now float between the three brands. And it really gives the WWE a chance to put Charlotte and Becky on Fox if they so choose. Fox and WWE spent a lot of time this summer promoting Charlotte as one of the superstars of SmackDown. Making Becky and Charlotte tag team champions is a way for them to cash in on their promotion, on Fox's promotion of Charlotte being on that brand. And then you add Becky, the Raw Women's Champion, to that brand. It definitely adds more star power to that show. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.